Okay, let's start. First of all, this talk will be in English because we have one team from the HillHax conference in India participating in the CTF and they are watching the stream, so we should do it in English because just two persons there understand German on the whole conference, so it's better to do it in English. Yeah, welcome to the talk, introduction into back, attack and defense, capture the flag competitions. So first of all, look at last year, we did a challenge-based CTF here. It was really amazing and we had 140 hackers participating and even 47 at least solved one of the questions or challenges there. In average, 5.2 challenges each, and we had 25 challenges and three of them wouldn't be solved anyway, so nobody was able to solve them. So after last year we thought about, yeah, should we do another challenge-based capture the flag competition here, or should we do attack and defense capture the flag? Our team, the Square Roots, is really old. It's founded in 2006, and there at this time there were just attack and defense capture the flag competitions, so that's maybe a reason why we are also addicted to this attack and defense competitions compared to challenge space. So we thought, yeah, let's try it here. We have a local network where we can do it because at our university we don't have enough bandwidth to scale up for many teams to make online CTF. So yeah, that's why we choose this year. We do something new.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Also,
that's enough.
Yeah, I think many of you know this movie from 1959 called Hackers. So, yeah, this year it's all about attacking other teams. Last time you were just attacking our infrastructure, our services, but I mean, it's also fun, but it's even more fun to attack other teams and see, oh, yes, we own their system. Not just, yeah, we solved the challenge, we have a flag, we are somewhere in the scoreboard, but this is really the awesome stuff. So, how attack and defense CTF works. Normally, you have your team servers and a game server. So, what the game server does is it places flags on each team's server by using the services. So there are services running, for example, a guest book or a forum or anything you could imagine as a service. And they have vulnerabilities. And yeah, the game server places flags on each team server every round and also tries to take this back. So for example, if the service is a shop, it, for example, writes in the address field the flag and In the next round, it checks if for this account there's still the flag inside of the address field. And the game server places the flags and tricks them back and calculates the score for you. So every time you Okay, first of all, what's your system? You have a Wollenbox, so our Wollenbox here will be a VirtualBox image, and there are first four services running on it. And each service has multiple vulnerabilities, so even if you, for example, fixed one, there might be some other vulnerability that also enables other people to access Flex. So don't think, okay, we have an exploit, we fixed the vulnerability for this exploit, finish the service. There are mostly many vulnerabilities in one service. Yeah, and each Wollenbox of each team has a specified IP. For our CTF here, it would be 10.0.yourteamid.3. That's where you have to assign the IP address to your VirtualBox image after you booted it. Okay. Then first we look at the defense part. So the defense part is all about your service must be up to get points. Only if nobody else submitted a flag of you from this service, you get this point. If some vulnerability is open and some other team is exploiting it, you will lose defensive points. So what you should do for the defense part, fix your services. If you find a vulnerability, not just write exploit to attack other teams, also secure your own system. And securing your own system could also mean maybe some system changes, or the vulnerability has not to be inside of the service itself. It could also be a misconfigured MySQL server or something like that. So don't just look at your service itself, but also at your whole system. Then the other part, maybe the more interesting part, is attacking it. So each round, the game server is placing a flag on each other team server. And these flags are valid for 30 minutes. So if you grab a large chunk of these flags, you can submit all of them. And you can just submit a flag when your service is up. So your service, you can't just turn off your service and think, OK, nobody can attack me. Your service must be up and running, and it must be able that the game server can use your service, like placing a flag in the address field and taking it out of the address field. And every round you get at least one new flag. It could be sometimes two or three. It's random, so don't just think there are too many flags. It must be wrong. If there are thousands of flags at the first minute, then something is strange, but yeah. So, and what's the important part about attacking is you should write automated exploits. So don't just use a SQL injection and copy and paste the flags by hand inside of the game server. You will be slower than the other teams because there are so many flags, and yeah, you are really slow by clicking, copying it, connecting via Netcat to the submit server, send the flag, copy the next flag. So better write an automated exploit, because yeah, this you can just let it run forever and it will generate you flags and points for your offensive by itself. So let's look how this whole stuff works. So
can you read it? Is it? Yeah.
First of all, you have to import your VirtualBox image. So you start your VirtualBox on your host PC. For those teams who have lower IDs, there will be a real PC on your table outside. And for teams with higher IDs, there will be just a hosted virtual machine on our server, and you will get SSH credentials to log in, because we don't have enough hardware to give everybody a PC. And also, there are some teams bringing their own PCs. They will just get the image and have to look how they get it running. So the first thing you have to do is go on file and import application, select your VirtualBox image somewhere. And one thing you should really do is click this checkbox and say, give me a new MAC address. Because otherwise all your virtual machines will have the same MAC address and it will give problems. I can promise this. And yeah, then you have your virtual machine somewhere here. It will be looking like this, but obviously I will not start here, the real CTF box. So let's try it with another Ubuntu. And the first thing you have to do is to root your system, because you don't know the root credentials to log in, but somehow you want to get root access at this virtual machine. So the first thing you have to do is root your system. And since it's, so you can do it the hard way by editing the grub file, right? Init slash bin slash bash to get a root shell. But since we use Ubuntu, it's much easier. Just go to advanced options, recovery mode. Wait a little bit. And there you can say, drop to a root shell, and there you are root. And that's just for this moment. Nothing is running at the moment, so you are just in a bin bash with root credentials. But what you now can do is just say passvd. If you write it correctly, it will work. And say, for example, test. And you should also write the password correct 2 times. That's every time the same when you present it. 10 minutes before outside it was working, but it should work on your machines at least. Maybe I tried it on another. But yeah, what you then have to do is to reboot your system, since there nothing is running. No init script was accessed. Nothing is there. So you really have to reboot your whole system. That's a good point. He asked if we have to mount the system hard drive first. But there is a way to do it also with the recovery.
Yeah. It's read only at the moment.
Yeah.
You can't change the password.
Which one?
Minus O remount, comma RV as RW. There's a comma.
Comma.
And slash. So, yeah. Now we should be able to change the password.
Yeah, the first row knows more than me, so maybe you should look that you get in his team for those people who are not assigned to a team yet. So yeah, we can now just shut down this machine. And to demonstrate how this CTF attack and defense works, I just wrote a little CTF. So there we have our scoreboard in the upper right corner. This is a SSH connection to the game server. Here we have a local command line, and there we are at our virtual box. So the first thing you obviously want to look at maybe is which processes are running at the moment. So you maybe find a FTP server running or a MySQL database in Apache. So you have some more knowledge after just looking which processes are running at the moment. Then another thing is you maybe want to look which ports are open. Can use demonstration thing. Yeah. That's when you're not running it. So after you rooted your machine, you should log in your machine via the root user. But since I know the passwords, I forgot to look into the root user for my demonstration. And yeah, then you get a list about all the open ports, and you always see, for example, if there's a star, you ls off minus I. Wait a moment. Okay, so you can just do with ls off minus I, and obviously you're normally not a non-privileged user, but you're normally root, so maybe we do it like this. The thing is, if there is something running with a star, it's accessible from outside, and if it's, for example, just listening for your local host address, then it's not accessible from outside. So you see, maybe you should look, oh, there's a MySQL database accessible from outside. It's maybe not the best thing. You should change it.
How do you check the flags?
What is the question?
We should still allow you to check the flags in the system, right?
Yeah.
So we shouldn't frame it that way.
Yeah, but
how do you know what way you use to check the flags?
I mean, the game server is just using your service. So when your service is a shop, it's shopping, it's buying some stuff, or if it's a guest book, it's writing posts. So nothing like, oh, there's some hidden service or MySQL database, and we write the flags directly in the MySQL database. Nobody obviously would do this. So just, okay, there are people doing crazy stuff, but.
For example, the service is a guest book, and you inject the flags.
Yeah, so it will not be accessible publicly. For example, it would be a guest book, and the admin user has to activate this to be published. So there's a review process, for example, for a guest book or a shop system. You are just able to see the flag if you logged into your system with your account. So there's normally no way this that our game server is using your service in a way that you can't protect your flag. Because, so, then it's a vulnerability we didn't plan to do. Another questions when we, now our questions, yeah.
Is it allowed to place false flags on the enemy team's service?
No. I mean, you just make more traffic in a network. So it's not destroying anything. It's just you have a really big backlog of flags that aren't working. But yeah, what's your benefit doing it besides trolling some people?
Yeah.
We make exactly our rules that are coming later for you. So yeah, we now found out there is Apache running, and it's running on port 80. I'm not seeing it, but
it's
a HTTP. Yeah, there we have it, because the LSOff is more intelligent. So the first thing you should do is just open your web browser and say, okay, let's look what the service is doing. And there we have it, our Troll web support system. And the first thing you should do is just try out what you can do in the system, for example. Okay, we care about our customers, please leave feedback. So we just leave there some feedback. Maybe also here should make the font larger. So, and oh, we get our ID. So also we have seen there's a field where we can insert some stuff. Okay, now since this was just a demo, the service is really small. Normally they are bigger and you can do much more stuff in it. And yeah, so after you have seen everything this system can do, you maybe you want to look also how it is implemented. For example, we have seen, okay, we have not seen, but yeah, it's Apache and it's PHP. So we can just, for example, look in the default folder for our Apache web server. Maybe there's some source code. At least there should be some source code somewhere. And yeah, what we have there, index.php. So the next step is just look at your source code. And there we have some random string generator. For example, maybe this is vulnerable. So for example, it's not really random. You can guess that all the generated keys are just in a small area. But maybe this stuff you look later. First of all, you check the whole thing and you see there, oh, they have a MySQL database they are using, and they generate somewhere a random string and hash it. And there, for the first statement at least, looks secure. They use prepared statements and everything looks fine. So you maybe go further, and then you find, for example, this. A hard-coded password. Maybe some backdoor in your service or anything. That's also something that often happens in services in Capture the Flag competitions. Like, there's a backdoor beside the normal code, or in this case, it's a ultra secret login for the support persons. Yeah, so now we actually have the first vulnerability for the service. We can just use this credentials to log in our service and get all the support requests placed there. But we can also look further what's there. So also here you see there is a SQL statement, but this time they just inserting the ID hardly without prepared statements. So
yeah.
Easy way to make SQL injection. So let's try it. Let's say. And oh, what we have there. Some flags, and also our comment from before. So the next thing would be for you, for example, to fix this by adding a prepared statement here, or if you see that the game server is not using this backdoor, since it will never happen, since you couldn't protect against this. But an easy fix for this would be, for example, writing another letter into the backdoor secret, and nobody else of the other teams knows how you access the backdoor now for your service. Or just delete the whole block. Or say, there comes a situation for our trolling guy where you can just say, echo, fuck you, hacker. And there you fixed it. With trolling other teams. Yeah, but that's the one part. You fix your service since you want to hold your offensive points high. And the other part is you want to attack other teams. And it's really stupid to go here and say, okay, copy paste it, go back there, go on my local Tmux, and Tmux combined with a screen session in the upper half is really a stupid idea, by the way. But the screen session is running on a SSH connection, so I couldn't control all of this stuff. So let's connect the first time to our game server to submit a flag. Or maybe first we should look at our scoreboard. The flags you found there were false flags, since I tested before and deleted the whole database stuff. You see the scoreboard still shows you here in the upper half. Each team has 0 points on each side, so maybe we should first submit some flag. Some flags. And at the game server, there will be nobody of us running a bash script each time we want to submit a flag, obviously. This is all automated and stuff. And yeah, you see, it was working fine, and we got defense points for having our service up and running. So, but also we want to have to submit our flags. So what we do for this, we connect to our submit server. In this case, it's running on this machine at 159. Ja, da haben wir das Problem. Sieht schon, looks much more like how it should. So there we have to write our IP address. This time without the zero, the one at the position. You could obviously do this and you get a score, and you see here the scoreboard, you have one offensive point. Looks fine, but yeah, it's really stupid to do it with copy and pasting. So what could be a more efficient way to do it? That was too fast. I want to drink something. Yeah, you could write, for example, a small Python script, but also you can do a Bash script or Ruby or write it in Brainfuck if you like. But so the guy who writes the exploit today in Brainfuck will get a chunk from me. So yeah, now we want to write a Python exploit for this stuff. So the thing is, you see the you have the game server available directly, so you can see how it works and start by writing a submitting part. And then when you find a vulnerability, you can just use it and add the code to attack, and the submitting part is already finished. So you can let it run in the first minute you have exploit. So for example, you like this, have here exploit empty. So it's just taking some flags that is an empty array at the moment and printing it out, because have this to debug, have your team ID, have the remote host ID where the game server is running, and then just run some socket connection to submit flags. Yeah?
I was wondering when I find an open vulnerability in my service, which I'm currently fixing, how are the points calculated? If I know that someone else knows of this, should I take down my service while I fix it?
It's not bringing you anything. It's not making any difference. So it's making it harder for you to test your stuff if it is fixed or not. So you fix it, but when your service is down, obviously you cannot test if it's fixed or not. Yeah.
I think using IP tables to block other teams is completely forbidden.
It's also not possible, since all the traffic is going over gateways, so you just see that the traffic is coming from a gateway. And you cannot say, oh, it's a game server, or it's an evil hacker from the next table, or from India. So yeah, it's also forbidden, but it will not work anyway. So be assured for this. And yeah, so one really good thing is, oh, there's another question. What? I didn't catch you.
Is it allowed to interfere with the host system of another team instead of the VM?
No. We come to the rules later. All the nice stuff is forbidden. The do's are just hack other team services and submit flags, and the don'ts are don't do this, don't do that, don't throw ponies around, or yeah. So if you have, for example, in your team someone who is really good at scripting, you could maybe say to him, yeah, just write a submitting part for our scripts so we can start. If that's really something that helps, if someone just gives you a script and you just add your vulnerable code, and yeah, it's running. Because for example, for this, we could just do data request punct post. So when you have more teams than one, you should also iterate over all teams and not forget to it and just attack one other team. I mean, this also happens sometimes in some CTFs, that you see that they are just attacking one team. So data. Our ID. Maybe you mix also some debug stuff like printing out your response. And I shouldn't have pressed save. And then you can, for example, to get your flags, just use regular expressions and say find all writer. So it's also helping you a lot if you understand regular expressions to pass the output of, for example, a HTTP service. So if you normally scrape sites, use the DOM to access stuff because it makes it much easier, but here regular expressions normally do all the magic. You have to submit it just once. You will just get a notification that you have already submitted it. Okay. So if I did everything right, it should work. Sometimes, but at least in this case, it's not needed. Because we are just looking for an MD5 hash, and if it's not somehow interrupted, it should work like this. And there we did it wrong. Yeah, there we have it, our 19 new flags. And now you can just run it in a loop, and every time the game server is placing some new flag, you will automatically get points in the scoreboard. Okay, so much for this. Are there any questions so far? Yeah.
Does only the first team get points to submit a flag of another team?
No. Every team that submits a flag get the points for this, because it would be unfair to say, okay, 1 second earlier they submitted it. And so that's also the reason why you are not allowed to delete flags on other people's machines or on your own. So for your own, you don't do it, since the game server checks if the flags are there. And for other systems, because if you delete the flag because you are somehow able to do it, other teams wouldn't be able to get the flag even if they have an exploit. And it's just frustrating for everyone else. So that's something that our trolling guy would do. But yeah.
So, how often does the game server send you flags? Do we have to like run the script in loop all the time?
So the game server is submitting at least one flag in 3 minutes, but it could be more. So each round is 3 minutes, and in this 3 minutes, it could be possible that the game server uses one service multiple times, but it's guaranteed that it's used at least once. The flags are valid 30 minutes, I think. So at least the rules say 30 minutes. And I hope our system is configured like this. So yeah, we are coming to the rules if there are no further questions, or show me how to port scan something. Or so, okay, then we look at the rules. The vulnerable box image is encrypted on your machines. There is this exception for those teams that don't get a physical machine. They get just a SSH connection to their machine and have luck to not root the system by their own. For everyone else, they have to encrypt your vulnbox image and then import it and root it and stuff. So you're really lucky when you are one in the higher teams and we don't have hardware for you. So the key will be published on 10 p.m. this evening, and yeah, at least. So the first 30 minutes you just have your own network segment. So each team gets their own network segment. So for example, team one has 10.0.1. The rest of this IP range and so on. And in this IP range, you have also to assign your virtual box the IP with the ending .3 and your team ID, obviously, because it will otherwise count for other teams. So if you want to do this, do it. You can also submit flags for other teams, but that's when you want to troll your own team and not the others. Yeah.
But there is this rule that if you submit a flag, you get blocked for a certain time. So that would be a benefit if you submit invalid flags for other teams.
Yeah, I think this rule is just in case we get spammed with invalid flags, we will activate this stuff. Oh, sorry. So the question was, there is theoretically this rule that we can block you if you submit invalid flags. So you can DDoS other teams, but obviously DDoSing other teams is forbidden. So yeah, it's obviously also forbidden, but also we not have activated this. We are just doing it if we see someone spams our server with invalid flags and we get pissed because our CPU load goes up. Then we will activate this. So yeah, next rule, each team will be maximum of 6 people. It could be that you are 7 people now or 8. I don't really know how the teams are now put together, but we just have 10 tables now. And also we went to the next Baumarkt. I don't know the English word for it. Hardware store to buy new power connectors and bought the last network cables from the NOC guys. So if you didn't get a network cable for €2 from them, you can blame us for it. So we bought everything they had because our hardware was really at our limits. Also, one of our switches is now from our NOC team. So thank you really much, our NOC team. And yeah, so we put some more people on one table now to give everybody the chance to participate in the CTF without buying new tables for the CTF. So yeah.
Do we have normal internet access on the machines, on the boxes?
You have internet access. It's NATed, so Yeah, you can access it from inside, you can access the network outside, but you are not able to connect from somewhere in the hack center to your virtual machine. And also, please don't do evil stuff, because the Nock guys will come and cut our fiber. So I don't want to pay fiber. So yeah, how the flags are looking. They are just normal MD5 flags. So you can use this regex. And example flag would be Fefe 1337, dead beef, DRC, AF, DECAF, bad 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So that's one possible flag. If you see this on a real machine, you're really lucky that we generated this MD5 hash. Or someone trolled you by posting it manually. That's also an option. So you know what you have to do. Submit this flag on other teams. Then what are teams allowed? They are allowed to attack other teams. That means just their services, to exploit it, not to destroy it. And yeah, you're also allowed to do everything you want in your network segment. So if you want to host a DC++ sharing network in your network segment, we don't care for it. Do it. Or host your own cloud, or everything you can think about what you can host. Then the evil part, we don't allow you. Don't attack the infrastructure. Don't try to find a way to exploit our submit server or scoreboard. So that's totally forbidden. So we will disqualify the whole team if you do something of this stuff. Then the next thing, yeah.
So I'm not able to TCP dump every traffic that I get, which would be filtered out under new traffic.
You are allowed to track it, but you are not allowed to just say, okay, it's coming from this IP, drop the connection.
So we're not allowed to filter IP base, or we're not allowed to filter it any how. Because you could, well, it's coming from submitting a flag, that's legal, or it's attacking me, I'm blocking it.
So it's just for this network layer, not for the logic layer. You can filter out SQL injections, for example.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's just meant on the network layer. You are not allowed to say, okay, if someone connects and it needs more time than the other, we filter it out. So even time-based filtering is not allowed. So not just IP, because IP, it will always be the IP of the gateway from the package. So, but time-based, obviously, you can do it. You can filter out the traffic from India, because they have a much higher ping than everyone here in the network. So don't do this. Yeah?
Is detecting anomalies on application layer allowed and dropping the connection?
So on application layer, you are allowed to drop connections if you don't trust them. Your service must be still running for the game server. So then generate large amount of traffic that affects the network stability. So that means don't do stuff that's not necessary. If it's from your exploit, it's totally fine to do it, but don't just spam our network, because we are generating a network dump of all the stuff you're doing. So at some point, our hard drive will be full. So then another thing that's not allowed is destroying other services. For example, if you find the ability to get a root shell and drop the whole system, or at least get a shell and you can drop the PHP files, that's not allowed, because yeah, it's just annoying for the other teams, and we all want to have fun here and not be crying in the Hack Center. Yeah.
So renaming vulnerabilities would be bad.
is it allowed?
I mean, you don't are allowed to destroy the service itself, like the game server cannot access it. But for example, if you are able to place there another backdoor PHP file in the folder somehow, and over this you can read files or something like that, that's allowed. So you're just not allowed to destroy the service itself, but you can patch it with a backdoor for your stuff. Another question?
So, would this join also include, for example, gaining root access, modifying the components so the Apache doesn't start anymore and stop?
That's also forbidden. Like, so the service must be running.
Okay.
So, because, yeah?
Should it be allowed to try to avoid the other team to connect? To its machine, so, well, the service would be still running, but they would not be able to patch anything because
that's also forbidden because you are just allowed to attack the services of them, not the system itself. And delete and replacing flags is also forbidden that we had before. No, that's fine. You adding access for you, but if you block the access for them, that's forbidden. So if you are able to create an account on their system and log in via SSH, it's fine. But you are not allowed to throw them out of their own system. Then submitting invalid points will not reduce your points because, yeah, then you can just submit invalid flag for another team. But we can also see who did this based on from which VLAN you are coming. So you will be last place anyway with this. Yeah, going fast over this. There's a special case, the first, the second, the third person or team actually who has exploit for one service gets some extra points. So the first large for one service gets 50 points, the second 25 and 10 points. And also on our announcement board, there will be written that you are the first team hacked this service. Yeah.
So we are allowed to add a user to a foreign system.
Yeah.
So you could add a user and forward your traffic through their IP and submit in there with their IP to get a
penalty. You're really getting creative, so. But we have also seen in our logs that you have created this account, so. So yeah, going fast over it since we don't have much time left. So every valid point will give you access flags. If the rules you can find also on in the internet on the site where you signed up. These 5 minutes are wrong, it's our 3. And yeah, we are done in time. So are there some questions? Yeah.
Can you get negative points or can you get negative numbers with your points?
No, you cannot get negative.
Because
so,
points are subtracted.
It looks like on the slide it's an old version of the rules. So the current rules that are there are on the page you sign up. Any other questions? Or are we ready to go? Grab your machine, go to the CTF area, take some mate with you.